This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we go, Hour 1, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service, see me, bear me. N.A., it is a thirsty Thursday. Hope you get an opportunity to enjoy it as to your best ability. There's Broadus in his Masters get-up. Former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl champion, Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go five flawless for the first time this week. That is right, it is a full show with no Rangers baseball today. Will Chuck and Chia follow. Are reunited, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so a lot going on in sports. 214 says if the Mavs want the fans to move on, they need to fire Nico. I 100% agree. I think we'll be there this time next year. We'll talk more about that game here in a few minutes. I felt like it was a pretty big draft nugget dropping today from Bucks general manager Jason Light. Says there have been years where he thought about trading down more than others. This year, he says it'll be about what happens and who falls to you.
Yeah.
As we sit 2 weeks here till the draft, he says he does not foresee as many teams wanting to trade up across the league. Is that a pipe dream, thinking the Cowboys could trade back?
Oh, I've kind of believed all along that you probably weren't going to get value for your pick. When we continue to talk about that player 12 might be the same as player 40. So I think this is an opportunity to buy the dip.
Buy the dip. You mean trade up?
Buy the dip.
Buy the dip.
If one of those guys that you really, really like,
yeah,
and it doesn't cost you everything to go make that happen, if somebody's willing to get back to go back to your spot at 12 and it gives you an opportunity – I think what's going to happen to the Cowboys, it's going to happen potentially on a couple different levels. We did it today. Zach and I were on the draft show on DallasCowboys.com, and we were kind of talking about teams that we were worried about. We were worried about San Francisco. We were worried about the Bears, worried about the Saints, you know, teams like that. Mm-hmm. And not just first-round worry about, but there are teams that will that the Cowboys are covered on such a strong level. And I'm not saying that in patting us on the back, but I don't, no other team is covered on this level when it comes to what they're potentially going to do in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's talking about 30 visits like we are. And nobody's talking about draft strategy like we are. And teams around the league pay attention to that.
Hmm.
They're like, well, former scout Brian Broaddus is saying this. Zach Wolchuk is saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dane Brugler is saying that about the Cowboys. You know, there's a Todd Archer, you know, Calvin Watkins, all these guys. Everybody's saying stuff about the Cowboys. And I think teams understand, and Dallas probably sitting there in their war room right now going, guys, we got to button this thing down. You know, we've got to button this down. We can't, because we're all talking about it to a level that other teams are like going, hey, obviously, their 30 visits, they're bringing in Golden.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in McMillan. They're bringing in Burden. You know, if you like one of these players, you know you maybe have to get ahead of Dallas. So to me, you know, you have to worry about people trading ahead of you, but this might be an opportunity for the Cowboys. If you can't get value and you really like somebody and you're worried about losing somebody, this might be an opportunity to go up in this draft.
Who would you go up for? I mean, I think Carter, Hunter are obvious targets.
You know what? I've made this known. I think Jeanty's probably the third best player in this draft. Mm-hmm. And if it's not going to cost me an arm and a leg to go do it, if it's a simple move where somebody says, well, hey, we'll just offer me this, and because we just want to get out of here. We don't want to pick. But the problem is, where could Jeanty go? That's the problem I have to figure out. They're very well, New England at 4 could be a situation. Jacksonville at 5 could be a situation. The Raiders at 6 could be a situation. You know, Bears at 10. I don't think I could. He's the one guy, him and Hunter, I would consider going for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't gauge how far I need to go. Hmm. You know, that's going to be something that's going to have to be on the clock.
How far down does it go where it's essentially still the same player at 40? Is that 6? Are you right at the edge at 12?
I think if teams.
Because you're talking about jumping into a tier. I don't know if what Todd Light said applies if you're trying to go to 5.
Yeah, I'm in a situation where I've got 15 first-round grades. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys might have 8. Hmm. Their window is a lot smaller than my window.
Okay.
So that's where I think that I need to kind of be, like I said, I'm willing. There's a couple of players. If it's not going to cost me, if it's not going to cost me like, next year's one to go, not in this draft. Not in this draft.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Might get some good value to move up.
So that's, I'm more willing to think about going up than I might be going down in this draft.
And what are you willing to give, the 5 or the 3?
I'm willing to give the 3 to move. Hmm. If it gets the guy that I want to get. Now you could be in a situation where, you knock out a receiver and a running back.
Until a 5th.
And then you're not picking again. But
your offense is much better.
Yeah.
You've definitely improved.
I think about even moving up in the second round because I'm thinking about, I'm trying to figure out, and Eric again and I were talking about this morning, I Love of the Star. I feel like I've done 3 shows, which I have already before we've done our show.
Done 4.
So I'm sitting here thinking about at 44, if Revelle, the corner from East Carolina, is there. But there's a team ahead of me like Chicago that had one of the worst pass defenses in the league. They were 32nd in the league. And they're Vegas. Looking at corner.
Yeah.
But here on my board, I could grab maybe McMillan with a 1, and maybe Revelle I have is one of, inside my top 15. I know on my board it's that way.
Sure.
Maybe on their board it's the same way.
Little Trayvon Diggs situation falls to you.
Yeah, that'd if be you great. Can make a small move up, maybe ahead, to grab a guy like that.
Our Path into Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all Pluckers locations Thursday, April 24th for our annual draft party that is now just 2 weeks away. The Stars are in action tonight. Massive game. Only 4 remaining. They're going to host Winnipeg. And you can actually get into the barn for $44.
Yeah. Ooh.
4 points separating. Can you win out and have them lose 3 times? Probably not.
Nope.
I think they have Anaheim and Chicago on their schedule, both teams that are eliminated. The Pittsburgh and Vancouver games, I think, have the potential to just, you know, determine your postseason fate now that Miro is not going to be back until in the second round. And I don't know how confident you can be right now in this back line. It's been yakety sacks the last week, dude.
Yeah, a lot of it's self-inflicted. You know, they've played sloppy. They were certainly keeping an eye up on the clock the other night, and they really just lost concentration and focus. And they played tremendous hockey for 2 periods. Like, offensively, the power plays were really good.
Yeah.
But late, I mean, they got to finish. That's really what it's all about, and you cannot allow that to linger. So tonight's a big one just to get right mentally. So you'll have Otter back between the pipes. Good news, and we'll talk with Mike Heike coming up at 3:20, but Segs taking contact, participant in full practices. He's knocking on the door for coming back, so he should be ready to rock for the postseason.
Very nice. What line do you think he slides in on?
It's a great question. Maybe the 2nd?
It'll be interesting to see how sharp he can be.
Yeah. It's a lot of time off, though, for that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they'll probably ease him back in.
I don't disagree with you, but, man, I mean, it's just – I think to me, I could see him playing on one of the third, fourth lines, maybe just to kind of get.
I mean, they'll probably mix some lines a little bit.
See where he's at.
And then you've got the opportunity to try and keep some fresh legs. Like if you have like Dodonov, who's a healthy scratch. Yeah.
Where would you put Sagan still if you're ranking best players on this team?
Ooh.
Outside the top 10?
I don't Robertson, think he's the top 10
now. Yeah. Robo, Johnston, Wyatt. Miro is the best. Rope.
Rantanen.
Yeah, Rantanen. Rantanen's definitely probably before all those dudes. I'd probably maybe 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's still very good enough to, I mean, the stars are so deep with quality players that for him to be at 8th is just, holy cow. Rangers are off today, first place atop the West, 9-4 after yesterday's win. We are now proceeding without Bangford, though, with the oblique, hoping it's a quick healer. But Josh Jung is back, and that dude's hitting .467. So I think what this is shaping up to be is guys like Adolis and Semien are a little bit up there. You're going to be looking for Langford, Young, Berger, and whoever else can come up and come through as young guys looking to sort of extend what could become a championship window again. But that's really what happened for Houston. They win it, and then boom, here's Bregman. Boom, here's Tucker. And now, you know, we're able to, you know, make this thing into a dynasty. And I think that's what CY's plan's got to be. But health needs to start cooperating on these youngsters.
Yes.
A Masters Thursday underway. Scottie Scheffler rocking the Nike hoodie in his first round earlier. It was a little chilly there dealing with some weather. And he is playing well. Let me get this leaderboard up here. I saw he was at 3 under.
Number 2, now he's 4 under.
Okay, 4 under par. Nice job by Scheffler there with 2 holes to play, so he's on 17. And then Justin Rose has been on fire, though. Dude is 6 under through 10. He was 5 under through 9, just played the 10th hole and has another birdie. So he is a guy that can absolutely get dialed and go low and dominate the field. Chiafalo has more of a in-depth look at the Masters here coming up at 2:40. Messi made it happen for Inter Miami. They were down bad in the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinal. They rally for 3 straight and eliminate LAFC. Meanwhile, South America as a continent proposing to host the World Cup in 2030 as a 64-team format. 64-team format there in the 2030 World Cup. Maybe they're not proposing hosting. They are proposing doubling the field to 64 teams.
Yeah, doubling the field.
I mean, you do have a lot of good teams that miss out. It's not just the USA a few cycles ago that missed. I mean, England's missed. Italy's missed. Incredible night of theater last night at the AAC. I wanted to make sure we got to everything else that's been happening. Luka Doncic in tears as we were finishing up our show last night. We carried that ESPN portion. It was fantastic. And then he dropped 45 and... You know, the Mavs offense was sputtering more. I guess if I had to interview Nico right now, my question would be is where is this defense? As you're getting shut down by Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves, who have the combined like one of the worst defensive ratings that you can for a trio. And they're supposed to have all this length and all this size, and they got lit up. So Luka post-game asked about the support he got from the Lakers. He said, they all had my back. Everybody had my back, from coaches to players. We're trying to build something special here, and that was really, really, really nice to see. Obviously, he's alluding to loyalty once again, and he feels like the Lakers have his back. I mean, the Mavericks must be better at managing a superstar next time around. I think once Nico digests this all, if he still gets to be a GM, he's going to think, okay, you know, this is – really where I messed up in allowing this to get personal. But for Luka, on the other hand, I think this might be a massive learning moment for him as well, where, you know, I think he got a message 6.5 years in, and the emotion that he displayed last night in the pregame, I think shows that, how much it hurt him. And he's got to be looking internally as well at this point, becoming a man after you're 25 years old, you're done with your late adolescence or whatever. And he's looking forward and starting to mature. He's, I would imagine, you know, thinking, I drove them to hurt me this bad, you know. And I think, like, not talking to the team, not talking to Mark Cuban, not talking to Vegas Bob, not talking to Nico, having to have Kyrie Irving as an in-between. There's a lot of things I think that, for the betterment of Luka, he is going to benefit tremendously from this. And now he's feeling all the love. It just makes me sick that it's not happening here.
Oh, it's gut-wrenching, dude. It's last night watching him tear up like that. That was pretty heartbreaking. You feel for him there. And it would be better for him to wrap his arms around some of that stuff with the self-awareness factor and the maturation. Yeah. And it's just how long does that take for him? Mm-hmm. I think will be interesting to see. But yeah, it was, and he was otherworldly. We knew that he was going to come out of the gates, and it was going to be a double-digit first quarter for sure. It was, I mean, that first half was ridiculous, the whole game, really. So he met the moment in a huge way, and that's the type of guy that he is, and that's what's so frustrating. He wasn't just some awesome talent that you see in the NBA on any given night. Oh, this guy can score a bunch of points, but get to the postseason, get to a big moment. This ain't the guy. Yeah. No, he is that assassin. And so despite all the emotions that he was feeling, it was the biggest stage, and he was supposed to be the alien on the court, and that's exactly what he was. And yeah. Anthony Davis had a similar opportunity, and yeah, he ain't that guy.
Yeah.
You traded the assassin. Yeah.
It was a lot of the human element that comes in with sports. You could see Luka's heart was still here in Dallas. The fans, the embrace that he got, cheering every time he touched the ball, the MVP chants at the free throw line, the constant fire Nico chants. And on the other side of this, why this trade will never work is because Anthony Davis is never going to be embraced the way that he emotionally needs to feel that he is. How the hell is he supposed to feel when the guy on the other side, clearly all we want is him back.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against Anthony Davis.
No, he has all the intangibles. He has everything you
want.
Right,
but mentally.
Yeah, but he needed to show up last night.
And he looked disengaged.
He looked terrible last night.
The human nature of it, you have to understand why he would probably be dejected like that.
Yeah, but why was one guy like emotionally just a wreck on the bench as they're doing the presentation? And goes off and scores 42
because he is
different
that
DNA.
Special
That's what I'm saying.
Killer.
That's what I'm saying. But Anthony Davis, he needs to figure that out, and he needs to be a better player than he was. He was basically flying under the radar this whole time. You know him, and it was all about Luka, and rightfully so. But if you're Anthony Davis, you want to go out there and play with your absolute best effort, and find a way to match the intensity that they got from that guy on the other side of the court. And you didn't do that. That was bad on his part.
I hear you, but I do feel like he's had a governor on his effort because he's coming back from that deal, and he doesn't want to blow it out again and make it worse.
He was a bad player.
At least that's the way he's playing, but maybe he's just old, and maybe, you know, the gravity of the moment got to him. And, you know, that's the biggest reason that you knew Luka was the guy, because when the gravity rose and got heavier, he got better. Mm-hmm. You know, he had something that no matter how mature or professional you are, you're not going to ascend to. You know, every superstar in the league has had major developmental issues before they're 27 years old. Jordan had to be convinced by one of the greatest psychologists to ever coach, and Phil Jackson, that you have to get your teammates involved. You're a damn ball hog, right? And his lifestyle was, I don't know, maybe by some legends, equal or more extreme than Luka's. You know, Kobe Bryant was antisocial. Same guy. Phil Jackson had to convince him, dude, you got to be buddies with your teammates a little bit here if you want to lead them. You know, right now it's Shaq's team because you're alienating yourself from everybody. You know, obviously Jokic and, you know, all these guys. Kyrie Irving, he's in Boston. He's too heavy-handed of a leader. Alienated Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're like, get this guy out of here, please. 5 years later, he's in his late 20s, early 30s, and he is the ideal leader. Mm-hmm. Nico thought, you know, Luka's strengths could be replaced by a power forward, and didn't appreciate that he had the thing that you could not mature into,
yep,
which is when all the chips are down, I'm going to be the best player on the court. And he got an up close and personal view of that last night. Did he stay courtside or did he stay standing in the tunnel?
He was in the tunnel.
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, he was hearing it all night long.
Sure was, and deservedly so.
It was awesome. That was one of my favorite parts. It was just incessant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was necessary, and it'll be interesting. You know, I guess if you're Dumont and you're thinking, at least let's see what happens next year. But I think at this time next year, maybe even before the trade deadline, we're going to be thinking about, let's try to blow this team up and recoup the picks. from 2025 to 2030 or 2026 to 2030 that would at least give us a chance to draft the next guy. Because if you don't trade these guys by next year's deadline or the one after that at the latest, their value is just going to evaporate as they hit mid-30s. We got to run. Chuck Wagon coming up next. Then the G-Bag of the day, Zach, what's in store?
How much is this guy making from NIL? Were you ever part of a fight while playing sports? And this D-line slogan is not going over well. That's next on the next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day coming up here in 7 minutes. It's time for Chuck Wagon here, and the segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you or a loved one's been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Wolchuk.
Yeah, next Wednesday, we're going to be out at Shell Shack. You can come party with the G-Bag Nation.
What?
We'll be out there off Henderson. Yep, next Wednesday.
Crawfish.
So you'll have an opportunity to come see us. And then the day after, a week from today, we've got our staple draft event where you, the Tola, it's Draft 101. You come on out, party with me, Brian, Bobby, some of DallasCowboys.com. We're going to feed you a Whataburger. It's going to be absolutely glorious. So it'll be here, 4131 North Central Expressway, downstairs at our showroom. So you show up at 6:45. You don't need to sign up. Just come on out, and it's going to be an absolute blast. We'll get things started off at 7 o'clock. We get here early, and we'll have draft talk, take your questions. And you don't have to be a Cowboy fan, as Brian has said. You're just a fan of the draft.
Yeah.
Just come on by. It's going to be awesome. We can't wait for that. A week from tonight, Draft 101.
Don't Eagles gear it up, though.
Yeah, no. Not, yeah, please don't do that. We'll kick you out. I'll kick you out.
That's where Wolchuk draws the line.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. You can be an Eagle fan. Just
if
keep
don't
that.
Sing Fly Eagles Fly.
Don't you damn say that you
You'll
are.
Get Uncle Phil'd right out
yeah,
of
it. You go ahead and keep your damn mouth shut. You just soak it in. All right. Don't be showing up and singing Fly Eagles Fly or wearing any Eagles gear whatsoever. Not
what if
that.
They want to do the misspelling of the chants to make fun of them?
If it's to make fun of them, absolutely. As long as they follow it up with an Eagles suck chant.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
okay.
And you have to be wearing Cowboys gear when you do it.
Yes. Please do. Yesterday, you guys mentioned JT Toppin going back to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So he's going to get more than $1.5 million to stay at Tech, rejecting the NBA. And I wonder if this is now going to be a trend when it comes to some of these stars. Like, maybe they're not going to be a top five type of pick. And these schools now with the boosters can go ahead and just offer them a ridiculous amount of money. But this is a huge win. He's going to get $4 million to play basketball next season. That's how much Tech is going to play. They've got a variety of NIL stuff that they're working out for him. They've also got, you know, the billionaire donor that I believe John Hamm's character in, mm-hmm. in Landman is yeah. based off of.
Yeah.
So, hey, Cody Campbell. Is who to thank, that Red Raiders billionaire booster. But a huge win for Texas Tech basketball fans. They're going to be one of the favorites now with Grant McCaslin in that program, with him coming back, averaging over 18 points a game, just under 10 boards. But $4 million, I mean, hey, you want to keep your studs around, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is good for basketball. I think it's good for college football, too.
Yeah.
That you got some of these players that are not interested if they don't feel like that they're going to get picked at a high enough spot that they can, it's worth their while, then
crazy.
Kind of figured out how to do it. How do these kids stay eligible, by the way, with all the moving around? I mean, I know I'm just asking that question, but
I know if they're a JUCO transfer, I think they get a year. I think we've got to be at the end of the COVID year.
No, we are at the end of that, but I'm just curious of how do transcripts and stuff, like,
yeah.
how do you have enough hours to stay eligible?
That's a good question.
It seems like a lot of these kids might be in a situation where they make money and they don't necessarily have to go to school. They don't go to school.
Yeah, because studying for this draft, I mean, you've got some players that had been graduated, and they're just playing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's cool. But I just wonder when you jump in the transfer portal, are your grades and all your hours good enough to be able to go to another place and be able to be eligible through NCAA rules? But obviously, a lot of these kids are.
They must be. Or maybe they're crazy. They're going ahead and making things work out for them to make sure that they are as well.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, did you guys see the D-line motto that Mike Elko is not very happy with?
No, I saw that there was something going on, but I didn't see specifically.
The players
what
it came was. Up with their own motto, and the coach didn't like it.
Yeah, well, it's not
is
a good
it the
one.
Hot boys.
It's pretty bad.
Hot boys 2.0.
So defensive
it's
tackle.
It's will rush down
attack.
The middle and be happy with it.
It's
Zach Masters.
Defensive tackle DJ Hicks. He tried to give people a reason to be excited for what's in store during an interview where he hyped up the mentality on the defensive line and what the trenches have adopted there. At Texas A&M, he credited a couple of coaches, former teammates, for instilling a culture that, well, their new motto, it's CBO.
Hmm.
That stands for Choke a B Out.
Oh.
Yeah. Mike Elko didn't like this, obviously. Not really a good look on the program. It's
say violence, but we don't want to get too specific about the violence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, play violent, be
We're
violent.
We're just choking the life out of the team. And, you know, by B, we don't really mean woman.
We don't really mean that.
Yeah, we're referring to the other team as a bunch of B words.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we could probably choose something else.
That's probably
here.
Something you want to keep in a private chat.
Yeah, he probably
don't want to put that on.
He got excited.
T-shirts.
And he overshared probably a little bit here.
Yeah.
But now that it's out, Mike Elko's got to do damage control, right? So he said, it's absolutely ridiculous that was even stated. It's conveying something that shouldn't be conveyed, so we'll get that handled and addressed.
Yeah,
so I'm sure he's gonna get an earful about this.
Sure,
might have to do some extra lunges and up downs and probably run around quite a bit,
some heavy back squats,
but yeah, you keep that in house. You don't mention that, and you certainly aren't making t-shirts and hats and stuff with that slogan on it either. But yeah, I guess in today you can't really use that slogan.
Well, at least it's not as bad as when a former Cowboys defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli nicknamed Nick Hayden the Golden Cock.
Yeah, well, that was
vulgar. That of course for how he was cocked at the line of scrimmage,
right.
Like the chicken on top of a barn.
And he was very much like a cocksman there.
Yeah.
But it just didn't go over well.
No.
Either. It's also inappropriate, and people are just going to think about other things. But it is vulgar and violent, and it gets the people going.
Yeah. You know, and if you got a bunch of 20, 21-year-old football players on your team, I'd just let it roll.
Yeah.
You know, I'd tell the media, yeah, we got it handled, but I'd be like, yeah, CBO guys, let's go do this.
Let's CBO these
It just wasn't
bees.
Good, you know, overall for A&M, though, so Elko's got to do the damage control. And then Kenny Dillingham, I wanted to get to this about a week ago, but he's now going to turn to public shaming when it comes to the film study. This is how he's going to call out his players. If they're watching film and he's thinking players aren't responding, he's going to now share the bad film on social media and just publicly shame the player.
Who is doing this now?
Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State's head coach.
Did you get cracked?
No. This is a real story.
This is not because Dillingham is a noted like players coach guy.
Yeah,
he's the guy that's like you can be in the portal and still play for us in the playoff kind of coach.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
he said this is
a way to hold his players accountable. He said things are getting filmed. You have a day off. You lose in a one-on-one rep. It's going to go on social media. You can't just take a day off because everybody's going to see it. You can't just sit out a rep. And in today's day and age, you need as many things that can motivate guys. Guys got to get to know their pressure along the way during practice. Practice cannot become complacent. It has to be like a game. So having 1,000 fans out here on the field watching and cheering, it just gets the energy level up. It puts the pressure on a little bit. So it's what we're trying to create every day in practice. It's just a little bit on steroids.
Right on. Thank you, old Chuck.
Yeah, no
There's
problem.
A proper Chuck wagon for you here in the nation. We're going to drill down on the Masters here coming up at 2:40, but time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has your G-bag of the day.
Hey, so I'm not mad at that slogan whatsoever, but you got to keep it in-house.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
There's too many snitches out here nowadays, or bootlicks.
Well, they tattle on themselves.
A whole lot of bootlicks out here snitching for what they think is a social clout, maybe. Sure. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A pat on the back. Oh, thank you for telling us that.
Oh, yeah.
You're awesome
a real team guy.
For snitching on that guy. Thank you. You see what they did to CD, right? Yeah.
Yep.
CD's nose white, bro. Somebody went and straight up snitched. Like I said, I see it all the time on the fan text when we're talking about it. Well, guys, here's what it actually means.
What a snitch, bro.
I just explained it. And here you go. You got, well, really? Snitch, bro. All right, anyway, let's see here. This is day 3 for Bobby Belt's diss to the nosebleed seats, guys.
Yeah.
Is he looking for 4 today? Is that what he's doing?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Looking for
man.
3 today?
We lost a day.
Yeah, he's looking for 3.
I don't
3.
Know what he's looking
okay.
for. He's not winning.
He ain't getting 5 for him.
All right.
Wow.
Here's your boy Bobby Bell from the morning show, the RJ and Choppy show. Has a diss for Eric and Zach right here, the Nosebleed Brothers. And you guys were cooking up something in the studio, but I'm not even going to do all of that.
It had to be you guys. Had to be the Nosebleeds.
Bleeder!
I thought we were cool.
Bleeder!
Okay.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
That's the best part.
Stop and play this music as I get into my story time. Zach and Eric blew it when they stopped Young Belted just for time. Burned a bit to know that they would go and pick a fight with me. I'll tourniquet these hoes because I know just how to stop a bleed. Let me start with Wolchuk and I'll send him to his mommy's arms. He thinks that he's LeBron, but let's be honest, can't play Bronny's part. Rhymes that hit so hard, he'll probably leave here with a busted lip. I'll post that shit on YouTube and I'll title it a custom vid.
Damn.
Got me feeling like Et Tu Brute. Bet the shit go five times and you have to hear it every day. Got that nostril plug, now the other one is trying to bleed. I forgot his name, like he's out here repping Micah P. Does he ever talk? I just don't know how Brody got this far. Probably should go back to selling all those busted lemon cars. G-bag of the decade, get your vote right, she a follow. And get the EpiPen because these nuts you about to s-
Very inappropriate.
Golly, dude. Man.
I have ridiculous. Not
a lot of disrespect there.
So much disrespect, right?
So many lines. That's amazing.
He did. He crossed a lot of lines.
That was heavy-handed, wasn't it?
I believe so. I would say so.
Yeah, that was top row.
There's almost no more lines to be crossed at this point.
No, whatever
we can come off
do,
the top row.
No. Yeah.
And at 420, I believe Wolchuk and Achiafalo are going to respond with their diss track reply. And I haven't heard it yet, but from what I understand, you guys might have crossed the line back.
Oh, 100%. We took it. We cranked the volume up.
I think they flew in HR from Houston, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. We just had to monitor
the situation.
We did have a pre-show meeting with some suits that were a little bit more threatening than I would have liked.
No,
but we're running with this thing, dude. Wow. If Bobby's going to drop kick us like that, we're going to donkey kick him back. Right,
absolutely.
Wow. 420.
Pants him and trip him.
Who's challenging today, Lucius?
I like how hip hop totally took that guy, that Don Fontaine dude. Damn, son, where'd you find this? Damn, son, where'd you find this? Like, he had a real career, you know what I'm saying? Out here voicing for radio stations, doing TV, you know, trailers and whatnot, movie trailers. And now hip hop was like, guess what, bro? Read this for me. Damn, son, where'd you find this?
It's iconic, dude.
It is.
It's iconic. Fantastic. Now, bro. Just a regular old radio guy right there. All right, let's see what we got for you boys. Texas Rangers. Let's go to Jonah Heim.
Jonah.
He made some serious contact against the Cubs. I think that was Monday night. There was some crowd mics doing their job.
The pitch, Jonah swings, line drive, base hit into right field. Garcia scores, Smith rounds third. He comes home, the throw goes to third, cut off by Swanson, and then he drops the potential relay. So Young slides in safely, and at first base with a two-run single is Jonah Heim, and the Rangers strike first here in Wrigley.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of numbers where the Rangers are doing well, but they have had some very key hits, some big hits and some home runs with two strikes in the count.
You might have just heard Marcus Semien. The crowd might catching Marcus's conversation with some fans in the first row by the on-deck circle. He'd say, you see what Jonah did? I want to do that. Here's Leody Taveras, the ninth place hitter, hitting for Texas.
Like you do that too, buddy.
I heard that driving around, and I thought, wow, they got the mic way too close to the fans.
I thought it was a fan too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It is.
See what else we got for you boys.
Marcus is our guy.
Yeah, I got that ring still. Thank you guys for retrieving that for you. I haven't used it. It's put up.
Yep.
Every once in a while, I Google it just to see if the value's risen on it.
Nice.
Yeah. I put it up for auction.
Thank you guys. Hey. I love that.
Is this Depeche Mode?
Duran Duran.
Epic.
Yeah, I was doing some sweating to that today. All right, let's see. Kevin Harlan, live from the Celtics Knickerbockers game. He had a mix-up during the read.
Tonight from Madison Square Garden, the NBA on TNT is brought to you by the new crispy tenders at CarMax.
Oh.
What? The way car buying should be. Can that be? What is that? Wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm holding.
Hold on. Are they serving tenders with cars?
Tenders
in the car?
Because
you're in. We just had the marriage of two different sponsors, and it was ugly. Who wrote that?
Yeah. Only you can laugh about it.
Well, that just goes to show you, I literally will read anything they put in front of me without even looking like, holy cow.
That is legendary.
Nothing bothers him.
What?
No. He's the man.
Hold nothing on. Bothers him.
He just makes it fun.
Just calls it out immediately.
Yeah, he just totally makes it fun.
And yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessings. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie D. Haynes. That is Frederick Douglass Haynes III. Long line of men standing on business right there, his family. We got a church that a brother was getting ready to get himself baptized. Okay. And he claimed to be Jesus right before being baptized. It got kind of weird.
Yeah, weird. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
I am Jesus Christ.
What?
I'm what? White boys.
Huh? All right. Well, we're going to pause right now, and we're going to have a conversation with Jared a little bit more. So, Jared, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I'm not Jared.
Okay. Oh. All right. So we're going to go ahead and pause the service. Jared is having some theological things that he's dealing with. So, Jared, thank you very much. We're going to continue the service. Pause. All right. Sounds good. All right. Welcome to Catalyst Church. A little awkward beginning. That is for sure. Absolutely.
So
all right.
Happy Sunday, dude.
Yeah, happy Sunday. So, Jared, go ahead and take a go out that way, please.
Go out that way.
He said, I am Jesus Christ, boys. Hold on.
We have a lake to dunk you in the back.
Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
I am Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I am.
Says he has a little theological discourses right now.
That was a perfect way.
We'll get back to Jared in the second film.
Perfectly soft
Jared,
way to
go
put
out
that.
This way.
You are going to have to exit the room there, Jared.
Yeah. We don't go want ahead and step to that room. Left, please. Ushers, would you go ahead and get Jared out of here for me, please?
Clearly some confusion there.
Oh, that's
let's
awkward.
Get him cleaned up a little bit. I don't know. I fear we might have just faded the second coming. Yeah, I feel like, Is it Bobby Beltar two-time?
Hear me out. Hear me out, though. Hear me out.
Yeah, hear me out, man.
Hear me out, bro.
Trust me. Jonah Heim crowd mic catches the action as Marcus Simeon wanting to join the party. Still in line. Kevin Harlan calling Boston and New York, now offering chicken strips with your tires, and a man claiming to be Jesus right before being baptized. Man, I'm going to go with Kevin Harlan, I guess. Chief, how about you?
I mean, I don't know how we're going to top Bobby's. I don't know how we're going to top Bobby's diss track. I got to give it to him, man. Got to give him his flowers.
All right. Lucius?
I'm not mad at that. Oh, shoot, man. We go to Texas Rangers. Crowd mic went to work right there, but I can feel like there's a Bobby and a nosebleeds battle coming up at some point.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck.
We have Harlan.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Changing my vote from Harlan to Belt. Ryan, okay. What are you doing?
Is that puts it over the top, though, doesn't it?
It's 2-1-1 right now.
Bobby.
There it is. By a score of 3-1.
Well deserved,
one.
Bob. It, making him a 3-time champ and potentially setting up G-Bag versus New School tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
At 2:30 in the G-Bag of the day.
Potentially.
Okay.
I'm all for this.
We're out of our depth here, boys. I'm nervous. Yeah.
I mean, if it's good.
That's right.
Yeah, if it's
I haven't
good.
Heard it yet.
Okay, Chia Falls Masters report coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Tip of the cap to Scotty and the skillet. But the Vets have a different pick to be your 2025 Masters champion. That's next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Time now for a Masters report with the Chief. Here's Eric.
Scotty Scheffler back with the beard the same way he won it last year. He went clean shaven in, 22 when he won the first time? And then he rocked the beard. Now he's back at it with the beard once again. He had a 62-foot birdie putt on hole number 4.
Let's go.
To get the proceedings going. And I believe he's finished the day 4-under in second place behind Justin Rose. So tip of the cap to Scotty Scheffler. And tip of the cap to the Scotty skillet that he put together for the for the champions dinner. We got some photos from it. And I will say, like, on those Scotty style sliders.
Yeah.
Don't you want to see the melt on the cheese?
A little bit.
Like, don't you want that when you get that burger slider, you don't want the cheese to I just threw it on there at the end.
Looks no.
Like you want that thing melted on there, right? We
looks
all agree
like a
with
kid's
that.
Birthday party.
Yep. We're not being nitpicky when we say that, especially when we're talking about a Masters championship dinner. Like, we're not talking you're in the backyard, whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though it crosses my mind no matter where I am if I don't have the melted cheese on the burger, but especially at the championship.
This is the
dinner.
Masters. There's like 100 people there, right? How many people are at this dinner?
It's not that many.
Not that many, even.
But the thing
put the trays in the oven, melt the cheese for 5 minutes, and deliver them.
Thank you.
That's the problem. You got a bunch of older gentlemen.
might not want the cheese or something.
Can't have the cheese that way. Yeah.
Well, make a select.
You have to be mindful. You have to be mindful that you have guys like Gary Player and Tom Watson.
Are you saying at that age you can't have any cheese?
Well, it might be a dietary restriction for some of those guys.
How hard is it to just not give them cheese then?
How hard is it to just preload on the Metamucil?
Or not make cold patties?
I just kind of feel like,
it's a cold patty, bro.
Trust me, I agree with everything everybody's saying. I'm just saying that Charles Cootie, who won this thing back in the 60s.
Chuck.
Probably cannot have a bunch of melted cheese on a burger. And that's why.
He probably shouldn't even have the burger.
And that's why you have
he's
a lot.
He's got the cootie. He's got other things to worry about.
Yeah, he does.
You got all these. Poor guy. You got damn rash. But you have a lot of these former champions order off the menu. So, you know, it, to your point, yeah, we can have the cheese stretch and all that stuff like that. But you do, if you do choose to have the actual champion's meal, there's probably some things that they are dietary restrictions for some of them.
Well, certainly just inexcusable more than anything. But the skillet was incredible. That passed the eye test. That looked like potentially, when you talk about like a BJ's Pizookie situation, ooh, it looked like that really,
oh, yeah, with the ice
really
cream and the
times,
cookie?
Times two or three, yeah, in terms of the yes, just the eye test.
Yeah.
Perhaps the greatest skillet cookie of all time, yeah, is what was presented at the champions dinner. So
not that hard to
maybe
do.
They made up for it, but I think the melted cheese is just, I mean, let's be detail oriented here.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr., you might see him on the outskirts if you're watching this weekend.
I can't wait till Chia follows like 60. I take that back. He'll still be eating like four patty burgers at 65.
There you go. So there you go. He'll just fast.
I'll be dust
afterwards.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how you overcome it.
72 hours.
I'll be dust as he's doing that. But
you have a long weekend. All of a sudden, I'll eat on Tuesday. All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. at the Masters this year as a credentialed photographer. So you might be seeing him doing that.
Going the way of Randy Johnson, his former Mariner teammate. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Over 225 private jets arrived and departed Augusta on Tuesday alone, with another 1,000-plus arrivals expected now over the course of the next few days. Someone even flew 14-plus hours from South Korea. That seems to be the longest PJ excursion to the Masters this
impressive
year. All the way from South Korea. Yeah, it's a good call. That very, very well might be. A lot of the former champions have picked who they expect to win this year. And it was Rory that was getting most of the love.
Been on a tear lately.
And he's sitting 2 under right now, 5 overall. Jordan Spieth, 1 over, 43rd.
I think he just finished.
Just got done for the day. 1 over in 43rd place.
10 years since the dub.
Yeah, nobody was picking him. But
whoa. Nobody was picking Spieth.
Maybe you take a flyer, huh?
You know, one for fun. I'm sure the odds were good.
Man, he was on fire for like 2 years, wasn't he?
That he was really fun. Was.
Why do you think people haven't gravitated to Scheffler as much? Or have they? I just haven't noticed it. It seemed like Spieth had Dallas behind him, where Scheffler's like twice as good, maybe three times as good. And he's a Dallas guy.
Right.
I don't know. Some guys just don't resonate with the town, I guess.
No, that's true. Maybe they're just all kind of like pulling each other's fans. Because we got a lot of DFW representation right now. Will Zalatoris, Plano guy.
I think he was +2 today.
Birdman of Plano.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, we know that the Masters is just so like ridiculous in terms of the rules and like just how they want to set how themselves apart from every other sporting event in all of the world. Not just for those who attend, but even sitting on your couch at home.
Yeah.
The things that the broadcasters aren't allowed to say.
Yeah. What? They have a list of can't say.
Patriots.
I bet, I was about to say, I bet old Broadus, who's, by the way, looking fantastic in his Masters getup today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very got the green in North Texas major.
Yeah, and I want to come back as Bennett Broadus, who's got even better gear.
That's true.
Than me.
So. Okay, so
you're
let's go.
An effing idiot.
Let's go ahead, Broadus, and see if you can nail these. There's apparently 9 banned words or phrases that you can't use on the broadcast because the Masters wants to be just classier and different than every other.
I don't know if I can come up with all 9.
But no problem.
Let's try with the fans are known as Patriots.
That's right, patrons.
Patrons.
You don't refer on the broadcast to fans. They're patrons.
They're patrons.
The rough is known as the second cut.
Nailed it. There is no rough at Augusta National.
It's not even rough. It's smooth.
It has something maybe to do something else with the greens. Man, that's it. What do I got? What else?
There's no more sand traps.
Oh, okay.
Bunkers.
Bunkers.
It's a bunker.
Okay. How about brain farts?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, they allow you to use the word brain fart.
I would argue that the word fart does not go
on a Masters broadcast.
I actually think it's part of the rules. If you're going to attend it, you can't fart on the property.
Is
understandable
in Augusta. It's a fart-free environment.
Do they have something to do with the pine straw? Is they use the word pine straw more than something? Because they always talk about the pine straw, and I never hear any other golf tournament. I guess because they don't have pine straw. But I don't know. That's not one of them.
I'm not seeing pine straw. But it could certainly be a part of that. Obviously, there's no back nine.
Oh.
What do they call it? The second nine?
They call it the second nine.
Okay.
Let's see. You have no driving range. You don't mention a driving range. Oh. It's the tournament
warm-up area?
Practice area.
Yeah, okay.
There's no reference of country club or golf course. These are all things that you'll get a text in real time if you're on the broadcast for this. Nance will get, now he's obviously buttoned up, but it's just Augusta National Golf Club.
Well, Gary McCord got fired from doing the broadcasting because the greens, he said, were slicker than bikini wax.
Oh, that'll get you.
And they said, you're out.
What do you say instead of twosome? What would you say? Couple.
Pairing.
There you go.
Pairing, yeah.
Bully bully. Groupings, I guess, is another kind of standard that you can go for the trios. There's no fourth round.
Final round.
That's right. It's the final round.
The final
round. Of course, Patrick DeMond probably call it the fourth round.
Yeah.
Shaq playing well.
Zing! And then there's something about the sponsors or
one of
whatever.
The hardest working players in golf history, John Daly, right here.
They're called partners?
The fourth round.
That guy gets it, man.
That's right.
They're called partners.
They're called partners, not sponsors. That's the type of partners, stuff. Yeah. Like, I wonder if Nance is just, he's done it long enough now to where he doesn't even think about it, or if he has to have like a list out in front of him, like the don't says, the
I
do
think
says.
They have the same crew generally doing all these.
What they're doing.
They know exactly what they're
doing. I would still have that printed out in front of me.
All pulling for Scotty, though, right? Is that what we're doing as a show?
Yeah. Scotty style.
Sure.
I mean, I like a number of these players, but yes, I prefer Scotty.
I like Spieth because I have family friends with the family.
Oh,
so
look at you.
I'll pull, but I pull for Dallas here.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Good look at the Masters. We'll keep you updated throughout the day. It's Justin Rose still leading 6-under through 12. Scheffler 2 back along with Connors. The 214 says, hey, G-Bag, this is Terrence. From the 214, Bobby sucks rapping. Tell him to stick to his day job. LOL.
Wow, oh, no.
That's strong criticism. I mean, we're all grading on a scale here, right? You're talk show host.
Yeah.
You got to be gifted to actually be good at it.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
I think he's pretty good myself.
I think Eric's got the flow.
Okay.
Oh, don't set the bar too high.
Nah, bro. You trust me. Between us, you're the guy.
Maybe between us.
You're the guy.
The nosebleed retort coming up at 4:20. So we are an hour and 25 minutes away from that. NFL news of the day coming up next. Bully, where is it?
Let's hear from Agent Zero, the schedule release rumors, and we got a Schmuck of the Week nominee. That's next.